We always try to minimize anger in our lives, don't we? I mean, if possible, you don't want to be around people who are always angry. You don't want to be angry all the time and just, I mean, get your blood going and but not in a good way. And frequently you don't resolve things and you feel miserable later. And maybe you say things and do things you normally wouldn't do. But sometimes anger can be a positive thing. It can be channeled in a positive way. What? Wait a minute. That can't be true. Mm-hmm. Let's find out more this morning with the good doc who's here, Dr. John Braccio, drjohnb.com, where the podcasts are, Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing. The last person that I would think would be channeling anger on a regular basis, and yet I know that you've gotten your dander up a few times, haven't you? Good morning.
Well, I have, but I might add that anger is one of those, I think, misunderstood emotions. A lot of people don't understand that it can be a very positive thing. You know, for a brief definition, a strong feeling in a person of annoyance, irritation, hurt, displeasure, frustration, unfairness. These are things that all are the result of feelings that come from anger, where we feel things have happened to us that aren't fair, things that upset us. But these are things that can actually be helpful, because they can motivate us to do things, okay? If we're angry about something, we can be angry at ourselves, mm-hmm. and we become motivated to improve ourselves. We can empower ourselves to not allow people to take advantage of us. We can certainly benefit, and marriage can and relationships can benefit from frustration, anger that comes out in a problem-solving mode, not in a violent or extreme mode. I think that if we can learn to control the anger and use it, then it's a very, very positive tool. Now, another one we don't think of so much is we can use anger for frustrated in negotiating. It can be in business, can be in government, it can be in family interactions, call it whatever you will. But I think the main thing to remember is anger that is controlled, that is legitimate, is something that has been with human beings since for thousands of years, yeah. and obviously has a purpose. Unfortunately, what we tend to be looking at is extreme anger, inappropriate anger, anger that leads to violence, that leads to
uncontrolled anger.
The id, if you will, in Freud's his breakdown of emotion. So I think that what we want to do is realize that good anger, positive anger, motivates, can be constructive, it can help relationships, it puts issues in the open, and it allows people to stand up for themselves. And those are, I think, are all important things where too often people don't control it. And anger that you put away, you hide, you don't want to deal with is what leads to depression, because they're on a continuum, they're very closely related. Anger is getting things out, but if you just are frustrated, you're irritated, you feel you're treated unfairly, that's what certainly can lead to depression.
So over suppressing it can be a negative.
Very, very much so. And that's common in a lot of people, too. We work with many people, and I have met countless people over the decades that have come in that are depressed and very sad. And it's because they have these feelings inside them they feel they ought not to have. And they're legitimate feelings. When people treat you unfairly, when you feel that people are getting opportunities that you're not getting, or that you're in a situation, in a relationship, where you seem to be doing 80% of the effort, and rather than letting your feelings out and expressing, you know, your anger, your frustration, instead you keep it in depression, fault finding of yourself, and this often can lead to great frustration, great anger, and a lot of problems in relationships, and also with self image and how we move forward in life.
The idea of it being a positive, too, there's a certain thing we would hope that there exists in all of us, which is a kind of righteous anger, too, when we see, Doc, injustice.
Sure.
And we want to try to correct that, even if it's in a small way, or the kind of anger you feel when you see that, but you know you're powerless to do anything. But that spark is not necessarily a bad thing. That can be a very good thing, too.
I think much of life that gets accomplished is because people are frustrated, people are angry, and they're willing to make changes, whether it's voting, whether it's getting involved in church activities, in political activities, in school activities, in community activities. And those, I think, that those are all legitimate uses of anger. That is really true. Like even in Chicago, there's been the concern of so many deaths that have occurred, and you've had people, I think appropriately, protesting, trying to deal with what can we do to make the city safer. Those are good types of things. Not that there's maybe any one person who's responsible for all this, but
right.
I think putting things out there, letting people be aware of are the Flint water crisis was certainly something that led to a lot of anger and frustration. And as long as people aren't violent, they're not causing problems, they're simply trying to improve the world through being, in terms of letting out their feelings and attitudes. Now, that's more at a, we'll call it a societal level. I was thinking initially more of the individual focusing in life on their interactions.
Have you ever treated a client, though, that would just seemed incapable of showing the anger emotion, just for either suppressed it or just for whatever reason in your dealings, your interaction, it really didn't exist? You ever run into
too many? Too
really?
Many.
Now, really?
They really do have it, but see, they've been raised.
That's not me, so.
No, they've been not many Italian Americans. But anyway, I think that what a lot of people do, they see it as wrong. They've been taught that anger is wrong. They've been taught that saying things, expressing things is inappropriate. So what they do, they can have severe depression and not realize that it's because they don't say enough for themselves. They play the mouse rather than not necessarily to roar like a lion, but they do need to learn how to defend themselves and just take their rightful place in the world. And they're, oh my goodness, Dave, you might be amazed how many people that are fearful, don't say what they're thinking, feel that they're taken advantage of, but they're not capable of standing up for themselves. So rather than saying, I'm angry, they won't even admit they're angry. You can talk to them. You can say, well, don't you feel badly? For an extreme example, that someone yells at you and is laughing at you and taking all your food and opportunity, just for extreme type thing, person says, well, I must deserve it, or there's something going on.
Oh, my God.
You have to say, rubbish. You know, it's time to stand up, say for what you're thinking. This is basic assertiveness, basic saying, you know, taking your rightful place. I guess that's the way to put it. But more than you might think.
So fact, that eats them from the inside out.
Yes, it does. Yes. There are many. In fact, the thing is, there are so many people like that. Even the word anger, Dave, with many people is a word they don't like to even admit this part of them. And anger is a legitimate emotion. It's like most things in life. But, you know, Aristotle's summum bonum, you know, there's kind of a medium, you know, anger is useful if it's used in a legitimate, we'll call it civilized way. It becomes not useful when it becomes rage, becomes ire, when it gets into the old personality construct of the id, the passions run wild or something like that. So I do believe that if people can look at themselves, accept that there can be irritation, that there can be hurt, there can be annoyance, there can be displeasure, frustration, unfairness, and those are things that we can feel and things we can experience. And if those are happening to us, causing those feelings within anger, we'll say, then there's nothing wrong with learning how, in a nice way, to stand up for yourself. And that is a lot of, just you mentioned it before, people I've worked with. Sure, I do a lot of that, to working with people to stand up for themselves, not allow themselves to be, we'll call it, bullied, taken advantage of, or hurt, frustrated, this type thing. And those are life skills that people have to learn how to develop. And a good percentage of people have never developed them, and unfortunately never will, and lead a life very frustrated, feeling that they have not had a fair chance in life, but they really don't quite know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with legitimate anger.
Always turning the other cheek, not always the best idea. Dr. John Bracci, of course, you get the podcast, all the podcasts for all of the series at drjohnb.com. Regional Psychological Services, they are based in beautiful East Lansing, Michigan, where the sun is shining this week after a Spartan victory. It wasn't easy, but MSU got the win. Notre Dame beat Michigan. And there's your talking points for the week as MSU gets ready for a trip to the desert. Always good to have you on, my friend.
It was a perfect weekend for football with those two games. How does that sound? One game I root for Notre Dame.
I thought you'd be a pretty happy camper without any anger issues, especially after that fourth quarter finish with the Aggies of Utah State. 13:20 morning wake up. Coming back here on your Tuesday, feels like a Monday. WILS.